My name is Naomi Garcia. I'm the Associate Director for Discipleship in the West Michigan Conference. I have been in that position since 1989. I'm on my seventh portfolio, meaning combinations of responsibilities. I think it's seven, but maybe not. I don't know. Before that, I was Director of Christian Education at a cooperative parish in Appanoose County, Iowa. Six United Methodist congregations. I worked with two full-time pastors, and I was a full-time educator. We did everything seven times. Each church did their own, and then we did some ecumenical stuff. Like in the summer, I ran seven Bible schools, which was great fun and exhausting. And over the course of the year, I would run seven youth groups. And the most dynamic youth group was in Jerome, Iowa. The church was it. That's all there was in that town, village. Not even a village, it was very small. The worshiping community was 12 elderly women on fixed incomes, all over 70. And they had the most dynamic youth group in the county. They decided one day, well, I don't do games anymore, and I don't get their jokes. And I can bake cookies. Someone else can say, I know how to make Kool-Aid. Someone else said, oh, I know this bus driver who loves children. Well, I know the principal of those two schools, elementary schools, that are just outside of town. And 5 weeks later, they opened their first youth group. And youth, you know, when you're 70, youth is not always under 18. So they had a youth group pretty consistently of 50 people. Between the ages of 7 and 21. And then they had about 8 adults, regular adults, including the bus driver. They ran 8 weeks in the fall and 8 weeks in the spring. I was there 3 years. It started the first year I was there, and it was still going 2 years after I left. So if you feel like you can't do something that God's calling you to do, don't talk to me about that. Pray with me. We thank you, great God, for claiming us as your own, for giving us everything we need to live as you would have us live. We pray that you would steer our speaking and our listening and stir our hearts so that we can do our part to be a part of your team to change the world. We offer this prayer in the name of the Christ. Amen. Today's reading of the consultation report is the culmination of at least 5 weeks of work on the part of various parties on the 6-person consultation team. And I call your attention to page 7. And I realize the page number looks like it's part of the date. It says 7 March 15. It's actually the page number, that first digit. Right in the middle of the page are listed the team members. Dirk Elliott, who is a lead consultant, who has suffered a loss this weekend. If you say yes to this report, will be your directive coach. That means that I will help you accomplish the prescriptions as they appear in this report. And I will work with you, if you say yes, at the church conference on whatever date that is, April 19th, for up to 24 months. I am just recently, you can celebrate with me, a certified professional coach with the International Coaching Federation. Just got that word on Friday after 2.5 years of work, so I'm very excited about that, and I hope that they prove helpful to you when you vote yes. Mara Marsman was the scribe, and the rest of the team, the writers of this report, were Rod Kalajanin, Paul Melrose, and Nicholas Holton. I call your attention to the town hall meetings. There's 2 on Sunday, March 29th, and there's 2 on Wednesday, April 8th. That one or all of those places is the place to go to say what you need to say about this report. And then the called church conference presided over by the district superintendent or the district superintendent's designee to vote yes or no is April 19th. April 19th, it's just a vote yes or no, not to talk about it. That called conference is 20 minutes tops. The DS comes in, sets the bar, members and who are present will be counted. sets, acknowledges this on the table as the agenda, the metaphorical table, as the sole agenda item. We'll call for the votes, usually ballots, but not always. We'll call for the vote. You'll scribble on the paper, yes, no. Somebody will tell you where to take it, where to put it. You'll do that. They'll take it and count it. The DS will entertain you. Then they'll come back. They'll give the result count to the DS. The DS will declare the vote. And either passed or did not pass, will sing a song or dance or something, call it to a close, and everybody will be on their way. So it's 20 minutes. If it takes longer than that, I'm sorry. In my experience, typically what takes up most of the time is counting the votes and make sure that the vote is right. And it's important that that be right. So I pray that you be patient with that process. Any questions about what happens after this report is read? Oh, yes, I forgot one other thing. Town hall meetings. Where's Chris? Chris is facilitating those, and those are intended to be conversations to say what you need to say, perhaps a little bit of dialogue, but that will be at Chris's discretion, depending on whether it's real dialogue or if you're getting a little edgy. That'd be up to Chris to decide. But that's where you say what you need to say, and then you come on the 19th to vote. If you say yes, you get support through me, your pastors in a peer mentoring group with other pastors. If you say no, you're on your own. You own this report, it's yours. You can do what you want with it. If you vote no to the VCI consultation support, that's perfectly fine. In the state of Michigan, on both sides of the state, there's only one church that has said no. It was a very close vote, and the pastor announced that they're going to do it anyway. Most votes in the state of Michigan have been 70% or greater in favor of doing it. So that's our track record. All right, let's go to the beginning. I'm going to read it, pause, occasionally inviting your questions to understand the report, and I'm going to give you a heads up. If you want to argue with me, I'm going to refer you to the town hall meetings. Okay? All right, let's start at the beginning. Brighton First United Methodist Church Consultation Report, March 15, 2015, introduction. We, the VCI consultation team, thank Pastors Sherry Parker and Paul Hamm, Deacon Loretta Job, staff, lay leaders, and the congregation of Brighton First United Methodist Church for the invitation to consult with this body of Christ. The following observations and prescriptions are the result of this consultation team's study of the following information. A, Brighton First self-study documents provided by its leaders, which includes the Does Your Church Have a Prayer Study?, a Mission Insight Demographic Report of the Area Population, the February 11, 2015 Mystery Guest Report by Faith Perceptions, the result of worship visits by 12 persons from the community, and worship videos. B, interviews with pastors, staff, and ministry team leaders. C, a focus group with members of the congregation. And D, a meeting with the Administrative Council. And E, input from the consultation workshop. We are confident that God will use this assessment experience and consultation report to help Brighton First United Methodist Church to more effectively be and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world and the community. Oh, I said that backwards. Strengths. One, building location and signage. Brighton First is a very visible location and is surrounded by a large population. This gives you great potential for growth. Your exterior signage on Grand River Avenue makes it easy to find your location. Attractive interior signage helps guests find their way around. Your building is also well maintained. One mystery guest said, quote, I enjoyed the wonderful decor in the church and that everything looked very professional and put together, but still extremely helpful and functional, end quote. Two, passion for mission. Brighton First shows a passion for mission. The church has a mission mindset. You demonstrate this passion through such activities as your work in downtown Detroit in the Cass Quarter, your local Vena Dental Clinic, hosting the Samaritan Counseling Center, participation in the Appalachian Service Project, Rio Bravo, and others. This captures the gospel mandate to do unto others and the passion of the Wesley brothers and everything Methodism and early Methodism. Three, demographics of the community. In the self-study reflection, the staff acknowledged that the community is growing and economically strong. They also stated that a large percentage of the residents consider spiritual life important. The Mission Insight Report acknowledges that Brighton has seen a moderate increase in population since 2010 and is projected to continually increase for the next 10 years. This strong environment for potential growth includes 1, the high number of white-collar workforce, approximately 70% of the community. 2, the higher than average education of the population. 3, the higher than state average of married couples. 4, the higher than state average of people in the 35 to 54 age group. And 5, the significantly higher than state average median income. 4, people rich. When the people say yes to an idea, they bring education, professional skills, passion, community contacts, and resources to make it happen. Potentially hundreds of Brighton First congregants could demonstrate beyond the congregation their personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. People could bring their own faith story to people they know outside the church. This exponentially increases the likelihood that more non-believers will receive the good news, perhaps for the first time. Quote, everyone who calls help God gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? Romans 10, 13 to 14, the message. Continuing on page 2, strength 5, new life and new life cycle. The earlier in the life cycle that a church launches into a new life cycle, the easier and more effective it is to do so. While many churches are rather late in the church life cycle, retirement or old age, Brighton First is at a prime place to start a new life cycle. At the church's pre-consultation workshop on February 14, 2015, 68% of the participants said the church was at the top of the life cycle, at either adulthood or maturity stages. Characteristics of these two stages are the friendliness and strong relationship in the church, the health and variety of programs the church supports, and the administrative structure of the church. Any questions to understand these five strengths on page 1 and 2? Thank you for the feedback. Moving on. Concerns. There will be 5 concerns, and then on the following pages, there will be 5 prescriptions directly related to addressing each of those concerns. So concern number 1, vision and mission alignment. The consultation team heard clearly from both the interviews and focus groups that the congregation of Brighton First often says yes to new ideas for ministry and supports them with appropriate resources. However, a vital directional question seems to go unanswered. Where is the ministry going? According to the self-study reflections of the staff and the Readiness 360 report, there seems to be no clearly articulated and compelling vision which unifies the church's ministry. There are no long-term goals, no strategic plan, and no uniform evaluation process for all ministries. People don't see how they are contributing to a big picture vision. Ministries cannot be aligned to an absent vision. Highly fruitful churches consistently prioritize the investment of their resources, time, talent, treasure, according to their biblical vision and mission. Concern 2, worship. Brighton First offers 3 worship times. The staff identifies 2 concerns about worship under its self-study reflection: a worship experience to be designed for the 25 to 37 age group, and worship generally to be re-envisioned, especially the 11 a.m. experience. Current worship does not meet the hopes of either the staff or the administrative board to minister to young adults. The mystery guest report states the 8 a.m. worship music and the 11 a.m. service overall as fair. That report's comments indicate a lack of clarity on the role of music and the quality of vocal and instrumental music. Few differences between the 3 Sunday morning worship experiences exist. A reworking of each worship experience to meet the needs of the different demographic groups is required. Any questions to understand these first 2 concerns? Moving on. Concern 3, intentional faith development. While Brighton First has some spiritual growth opportunities, there is little in the way of an intentional path for faith development. In order to transform the world, we must be transformed as followers of Christ. Your self-study report indicates some missed opportunities. You average three guests per Sunday and have no specific plan for follow-up. You have 18 small groups, 13 of which are ministry teams. A reasonable goal for growing churches of your size is to have 24 groups. There appears to be little attempt to connect the families in your preschool with the life and ministry of the congregation. People are not deployed into ministry according to their spiritual gifts and passions. Until these missing pieces are put in place, Brighton First will continue to drift and be hit or miss in growing disciples. A process to move people from first-time guests to devoted disciples is foundational to transforming the world. Moving on to page 3, concern number 4, leadership development. An identified strength of Brighton First is its people. They bring education, professional skills, passion, community contacts, and resources to make them strong potential leaders in the church. Yet even when called to discipleship, there is no clear path from there to leadership. One interviewee commented that, quote, "You just volunteer for a while, and if you stay on that committee, you become a leader," end quote. The number one area of identified potential improvement in the Readiness 360 report under spiritual intensity reported people weren't utilizing their spiritual gifts and talents. Interviews with church leaders and staff repeatedly mentioned that there is no defined or systemic plan to develop leaders in the church. To keep the church alive and vibrant, you need strong leaders. As you bring more and more people to Christ, clear, coherent, and focused leadership development strategies turn these new disciples into the next generation of church leaders. Concern 5, intentional and focused community outreach. Brighton First genuinely demonstrates its concern for the community in numerous ways. Paperwork assistance to those benefiting from Vena Dental Clinic, hosting AA and OA groups, providing hotel rooms for participants in the Family Promise, a ministry addressing homelessness, and fish and loaves. I will make that editorial, to name a few. Yet these outreach ministries are often transactional, providing for needs and services without necessarily building a relationship with the persons involved. We did not hear a plan to connect the people of the congregation with these ministries or an intentional method to integrate people of the community into the life of the church. We also believe this extends to the families of the First Steps preschool. We do, however, affirm the risk-taking ventures of Sanctus, a valued ministry to people who might not otherwise attend a church, where the focus is on building relationships so that authentic conversations about life and faith can occur. Faithful outreach in any form, whether financial or hands-on, must be relational, ministry with, and not transactional, ministry to. Any community involvement needs to be intentionally focused on communicating the good news of Jesus Christ and walking alongside the people we serve. Any questions to understand these last three prescriptions?